Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, good morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy Monday. Thanks for being with us here. Andy Bunker and Harry Douglas with you from now until 2 o'clock this afternoon. And like we're just saying to John and Hugh, man, there's a lot to talk about today, Harry. The NCAA tournament going on yesterday. I know you and I off the air were having some conversations about brackets, yes, but also other ways to have fun with the NCAA tournament games as well.
That's right.
Trae Young on Saturday. We're definitely going to spend some time talking about that. We'll get into what's trending coming up in just a couple minutes as well. But first and foremost, happy Monday, man. How are you?
Great Monday. Sometimes on Mondays, I don't want anybody to be lagging any. Oh, it's Monday. You know, the weekend is over. Be excited about every day. Every day is a blessing to be able to wake up and breathe this air. So be excited about Monday. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. I feel the exact same way, especially on Mondays like today where the weather's starting to turn a little bit.
That's right.
And it's still kind of cold in the mornings, but it's getting real nice and sunny in the afternoons.
You know what we call it? Well, we both happily married men.
We are.
Sundress season.
It's sundress season.
Sundress season, Daisy Duke season.
And there's nothing wrong with that, Harry, because I think there's two ways to look at it. First of all, my wife is one that wears sundresses from time to time, which is great. I love that. And then, I mean, I think, you know, it's okay to be a spectator.
Of course,
right?
It is.
As long as you're a respectful spectator, yes. as a married man. There's
don't,
nothing wrong
don't
with that.
Don't turn your head the full 360 or 180, you know, just
right.
Just move your eyes, guys. Look forward and just move your eyes a tiny bit. Just cut them to the left or cut them to the right a tiny bit.
Now, that is a delicate skill, though. Like, that's a balancing act that you have to perfect. And I think a lot of guys early on, maybe when in your younger days, you're still sort of living that younger life of when you see something and that you keep your head on a swivel, you can't do that. It's all about the peripheral vision. That's the thing that really comes in handy as you get older and a little bit wiser.
You're my boy, Blue.
Exactly.
Everybody remember Blue from old school.
Uh-huh. Poor guy died in a vat of KY jelly. But, you know, if you're going to go out, that's one way to go
that's
out.
That's the best way to go out.
Yeah,
Blue.
That's one way to go out. it is, though. You're right. It's a great Monday with everything going on, and the Sweet 16 is upon us. There is an unfortunate story as well, and we are going to get into that throughout the show, too. I'm happy for Ron Hunter. I think everybody is happy for Ron Hunter. He says that he's at a job now at Tulane that checks all the boxes. That's his direct quote from why he decided to leave Georgia State and go to Tulane. The way we understand it, they doubled his contract, so you can't be mad at a guy that was able to double his money and get a long-term deal. But I'm just disappointed from a local standpoint. Like, I really enjoyed watching that guy coach. I think he brought that program to a level of prominence in this city that it had never been before. Yep. He was just an interesting personality. Spent a lot of time on this radio station, on with Dukes and Bell. And I think it's a loss for the sports community to have him going and taking a job in Tulane. And, you know, there's a great article actually today written this morning by Jeff Schultz on The Athletic that details some of the way that it went down. And it just looks to me like Georgia State blew it. It looks like they had an opportunity to keep a really good coach in-house for a very long time. And for whatever reason, and maybe we'll find out exactly what went wrong down the road, but he wanted to be here. He wanted to be in Atlanta for the rest of his career. He wanted a long-term contract. They didn't get it done, and now he's gone, and that's disappointing.
Well, I think whenever you have a coach that has had so much success at Georgia State as Coach Hunter has, you would think that in-house you would want to keep that guy. And Coach Hunter wanted to stay here. But like you said, he has a family. He has things he has to take care of on his end. And stability is the number one thing. When you put up the numbers and you put up the wins and you go to the NCAA tournament, what was it, 3 to 4 years?
Yeah, three times in 5 years. The school had been there twice before he got there.
Yep.
So he, in his tenure, took the school to the NCAA tournament more times than they had in history. He does.
You have to be rewarded.
He does, absolutely.
And I'm personally upset with Georgia and Georgia Tech because I actually thought that Coach Hunter should have been the top candidate for the Georgia Bulldogs job.
Personally. I agree with you. Look, I the fact that he is no longer in this state,
yep.
in a city and in a state where he was able to recruit, get great talent, and win at a place where no one had ever really won before, yep. is a shame.
Yep.
Because any of those programs would have benefited. And look, Georgia, I think they feel good about Tom Crean. We'll see. Year one didn't go the way you wanted it to go. You got some good recruits coming in next year. We'll see if you're in the NCAA tournament this year. Georgia Tech, obviously, it's not going the way that you want it to go. And you know, we're told that it's a five-year plan, and hopefully everything will end up working out for Josh Pastner. But year three wasn't great this year. So anyway, we'll get to that throughout the show as well. There's some interesting quotes from that article in The Athletic that we'll read to you that sort of illuminate the frustration that Ron Hunter feels. But the Sweet 16 is set. The Hawks won again on Saturday. I know that bothers some people, but look, if they win that way, I'm not mad about it. Trae Young was fantastic. The Burleson, what are we, 4 days away from opening day for the Braves? And some NFL news as well. And we talked about Julio Jones last week a little bit and the report that his contract was nearly done or was imminent. I know you played with him. You played wide receiver in the NFL. You played for the Falcons as well. So your perspective on that story is one that I think we would all love to get a little bit later in the show. But we still sit here Monday morning and the Julio contract hasn't gotten done. Probably not the biggest surprise in the world.
Yeah.
But it was reported Friday that maybe it would get done soon.
It will. It has to get done.
I hope so.
I don't think it really matters when it gets done. It just has to get done before the season starts because I personally think Julio Jones, not just because I played with him, I think he's the best receiver in the NFL because he does everything that you ask for as a receiver. He runs great routes. He's strong at the point of attack at the catch. He can make the tough catches. He blocks. He takes on double coverage and still makes the plays, which allows other receivers like Sanu and
Ridley
to get one-on-one coverage. When those guys can get, when you have a guy that can draw double teams and you can get one-on-ones with your other receivers, your number one guy is doing his job. So he has to be rewarded.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to that a little bit later as well. Again, Andy Bunker and Harry Douglas, and you can follow me on Twitter at TBM929. Harry's on Twitter at
HDouglas83.
HDouglas83, that's easy. And as always, you can let us know what's on your mind on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Let's kick things off by letting folks know what's trending. Right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's all right. We'll do it this way. Trending topic number one, Harry. The NCAA tournament is down to the Sweet 16. I think the craziest thing that happened yesterday was the Duke game. How are you feeling in the final 2 minutes of that game, watching UCF nearly pull it off, and then unfortunately Duke, well, depending on who you're rooting for, I suppose, but unfortunately unable to get it done in the end, UCF was.
I told my wife, it's just like in every football game, every game, there's about 5 to 7 plays that can determine the outcome of a basketball game, football game. Baseball may be a little different because you have the homers and the way it's structured. But in that game yesterday, I thought it was UCF was up 74-70 with a fast break.
Yep.
And even Coach Dawkins' son played his behind off. But he missed an easy alley-hoop dunk that would have put them up 6. And then Cam Reddish came right back down and hit a 3 and cut the lead to 1. That's the ball game right there.
I said the exact same thing.
Ball game.
As soon as that lob slipped through his fingers, they come back down, they score. UCF doesn't score. Zion gets to the rim, misses the free throw.
Yep.
Miraculously, they grab the offensive rebound and put it back up. And it was that shot at the end by UCF. It was Dawkins again that got the rebound and had it up there. He was so confident that he had made that putback layup. You can go back and watch it. You played basketball. He slapped the backboard. anytime you slap the backboard on a layup, and not that I have a lot of experience slapping the backboard on layups, but watching other people slap the backboard on layups, that means you feel good about it. You think that thing's going in. Unfortunately, it just lips out and they lose.
I'll tell you something else that happened. The last 3 minutes of the first half may have cost UCF also. It was a tight ball game, between a 1 to 2 point ball game, and Duke went into the half up 8 points. They went on a little run. I think they went on 11-2, may have been 11-1, 11-2 run that allowed them to be up 8 at halftime.
Trae Young with an excellent game on Saturday night. We'll get back into Trae and the Rookie of the Year conversation. And a question that I think is actually more important than whether or not he'll win Rookie of the Year coming up in about 10 minutes, but he hits a buzzer beater against Philadelphia on Saturday night. He's all over SportsCenter. Steve Holman with the Doncic who call and all that sort of stuff. He just sort of continues to add to what has already been an incredible rookie season.
Well, see, I think he's exceeded his expectations for his rookie season already. And it's going to, like you said, allow guys to be able to come in here and look at Atlanta as a free agency spot to want to come and want to play when you have a young guy that can score the basketball and also distribute the basketball, because I think he's averaging about 8 assists a game.
Yeah, right there.
So whenever you have a player that caliber and he's everything that you expected and more, I think it's nothing but positive for this Atlanta Hawks basketball team.
Yeah, and the fun debate right now is, and you get it started on Twitter, you get the Mavericks fans mad at you, you get the Hawks fans mad at the Mavericks fans, and you argue about Doncic and Trae Young, and that's great. It's great that we're this far along in the season and that debate is happening. I imagine the debate about who won that trade is going to go on for the next handful of years, and I hope that it does, because that means both players are having nice careers in the NBA. But you nailed it. That's the most important thing. If Trae Young is one of those types of stars in the NBA that has that magnetism about him, that free agents see and say, you know what? I could go here, and they've got money, and that's a nice city, and they got a nice little core. Or I could go play in Atlanta alongside that kid that seems to enjoy passing the ball just as much as he enjoys shooting the ball, and he's got great court vision, and he's averaging 8 assists a game as a rookie, which like 3 guys have done in the last decade. Maybe I go play with him. He's going to help me score more.
One of the things that's going to these free agents are going to look at is that Trae Young is going to always be linked to Steph Curry.
Sure.
So in their mind, they're going to be like, okay, this is going to be the next Steph Curry that comes in and do his thing. Why wouldn't I want to go to play with him and do the things that Golden State are doing out west? That's another thing free agents could look at and look at it from that side of perspective.
I hope so. And we'll get into that a little more again in 10 minutes. Get the phone lines open as well about whether or not, A, Trae has re-entered his name into the legit rookie of the year race, and B, and I think more importantly, if he's going to be able to start attracting those free agents. We'll get into that in our next segment. We'll also let you hear some of Steve Holman's calls from Saturday night and what Lloyd Pierce said as well. Final What's Trending topic here at the beginning of the show. The Braves announced their opening series rotation. Now, we knew Julio Teheran was getting the opening day start. What we didn't know was that Bryce Wilson and Kyle Wright were going to be number 2 and number 3 in the rotation. We talked about this on Friday. Alex Anthopoulos had given us a little bit of a hint that we might surprise some people coming out of camp. We're going to give the ball to whoever it is that's throwing the ball best. I love this. To me, this justifies not doing a whole lot in the offseason, because eventually prospects have to become players, and I like the idea of allowing prospects to become players at the beginning of the season.
Well, you have to do it early. You don't want to do it in the middle of the season or late in the season where things are on the line, or you're making a playoff push, and every game right now every game counts no matter what, but the best time to do it is early on. And you want to see your guys develop, your young guys develop. Mm-hmm. There's no better way than doing it early in the year. They got guys hurt also. So.
I want to ask you about this a little bit later as well. From the perspective of someone who's been a young player professionally and been put into situations maybe earlier than you would have planned, mm-hmm. potentially, what the risk is there? Because you always hear about, well, you don't want to put him out there too soon. You might ruin his confidence. Couldn't you also give him confidence?
Exactly.
By trusting him to go out there at a young age? Like, I don't know. This seems like there's a flip side to that. Yep. All right, that's what's trending. Harry Douglas, Andy Bunker with you from now until 2 o'clock. We'll come back and get into that Trae Young conversation. Saturday was fun. But what does it mean? How big of a deal is what happened on Saturday? We'll talk about that coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Kevin looks. Still looks. Now he goes to Trae. Trae Young in the middle. 2 seconds. One. Trae, a floater. It's good! With 1/10 of a second left! Trae Bridges! Trae Young scores! 1/10 of a second left, and the Hawks lead 129 to 127. Trae Young, ladies and gentlemen. Doncic who?
All right. Welcome back, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Andy Bunker and Harry Douglas here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for being with us. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is open, 404-741-0929. And that, of course, the obvious and very recognizable call of the voice of the Hawks, Steve Holman, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from Saturday night. As Trae Young, I mean, he did it again. I mean, just another excellent performance from Trae. 32 points, 11 assists. I think it's the 15th time this year that he's gone 20-plus and 10-plus in the same game. That's a franchise record. That was his own. So he's sort of breaking his own records as he goes along here. But what he's also doing, and I think what that highlight there and that game did more of, is he's bringing the national conversation to himself and to the Atlanta Hawks. That highlight there was on SportsCenter. It was the number one play of the night. And because of that, Harry, people have reignited the Rookie of the Year debate. Every time Trae does something like this, the Rookie of the Year debate pops back up. I will say this, just for the sake of keeping it at least slightly real, Luka Doncic also had a triple-double on Saturday night. So let's not act like Luka. A lot of people on Twitter have been saying, well, and Luka's fallen off. Not really. Like, Luka's still been really, really good. Trae has just elevated his game to where now we're at least talking about it. How far are you willing to go in terms of your Trae Young excitement and that Rookie of the Year debate?
I'll say my excitement on a scale of 1 to 10 I'll say a 9 right now. Just looking at how much greater he can be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The sky's not the limit for this guy. It's never the limit. You know somebody went to the moon. So
it's true.
I think
they got the rover on Mars, too.
It's great. But the problem I have sometimes with the debate is that Luka is 6'7", 218. Trae is 6'2", 180.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So their games are totally different. They're totally different types of basketball players. But I would say I'm more impressed with Trae because he is a smaller type player doing this at the highest level versus Luka, who is a 6'7 guy with all kind of skills doing it at the highest level. So
I agree with you. And I think you've also seen an incredible amount of development. Yeah. I mean, you credit Lloyd Pierce for that. You credit Trae for the hard work that he's put in, the training staff and all of that. But it wasn't that long ago, November, December, when Trae was shooting a really rough percentage and there were some maybe overreactionary folks saying that clearly he wasn't going to pan out and he was going to be a bust in the NBA, and tried to caution people maybe to pump the brakes a little bit, that a month or two of a guy's career, his rookie season when he is that size, isn't enough to determine what he's going to be.
Nope.
But you know how people are. They like to be the first to say things. The most impressive thing to me is his development physically and just mentally as a basketball player throughout this season, because you're right. Luka Doncic came into the NBA a more NBA-ready player.
Exactly.
By playing professionally in Europe, the amount of time that he had, the size that he has, sort of the bulk that he had to be able to play at the NBA level, and he's been pretty steady throughout the year. Now, Luka has gotten better as a player also, but from where Trae was to where he is now is one of the more rapid ascensions that we've seen from a rookie in the NBA in a very long time. And to me, and I think I'm biased on this, I'll admit that I think that I'm biased on this, there's something about that that's almost more impressive to me than coming into the NBA ready, playing at this steady level and having that type of season, than coming in the NBA small, clearly in over your head back at the beginning of the season, and being able to figure it out on the fly to where you've maybe not even the playing field as far as the Rookie of the Year debate goes, but gotten to the point where people are talking about it with less than 10 games left in the season.
Well, I'll say from Trae's perspective, you got to understand he's coming to the league. He's already a tiny guy, small guy. You have multiple games you have to play that you're not used to playing in college.
Right.
So you're already playing more games. So the physical toll that it's taking on you, and like you said, this is development. For me, I love it mentally more than anything, because when you can mentally dial in into your craft and perfect it, that's when you're going to elevate your game as a player.
And we've seen him do that. The turnovers have been cut down throughout the season. The assists have gone up. He's just clearly become a player who understands his spots, getting to the spots he likes to get to on the floor. His mid-range game has gotten a lot better. He was having a really tough time getting to the rim early in the season because of the size. He'd get in there and he'd either get his shot blocked or he'd try to kick it back out and turn it over. He's developed that floater, which, by the way, is the shot that he hit to win the game on Saturday night that he didn't really have at the beginning of the year. So to watch him grow in season has to give you confidence that the offseason, he's clearly going to work on a number of things. And then his second season, right, he's going to get bigger.
Get
he's just going to have to get a little bit stronger and a little bit bigger, a little more durable. But then also just the skill assets that he's going to add to his game over the next offseason and next season and into his third season. to me, has me very, very optimistic about what he can be for this team going into the future.
That, with the draft pick they're going to have coming,
sure,
or draft picks coming, not to mention the free agency. So I think the Hawks are, I think they made the right decision, because at the end of the day, man, you can find anybody who can pass, or, you know what I mean, not anybody can lead a team, but you can't find anybody who can shoot the basketball. You can't find shooters. That's why I'm telling you, these small schools are giving these big major schools problems in the NCAA tournament, because they have 1 through 5 that can shoot, pass, and dribble.
Yeah, and that's what you're seeing. You're seeing a lot. Yeah, the three-point shot clearly has been the revolutionary aspect of the NBA over the last 5 years. Everybody wants to shoot it more. The Hawks are one of the top 5 teams in the NBA in terms of attempts. The game just looks different than it did in the past.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I heard John and Hugh talking about this morning, a guy like Taco Fall at 7'6", and with some athleticism and some moves around the rim, 15, 20 years ago, is a guy that general managers would have been salivating over. Right. Now he's, remember Hasheem Thabeet?
Yeah.
How is Taco Fall different than Hasheem Thabeet? Are they? I mean, I know Hasheem Thabeet went to a bigger school and had a little bit more hype, but he went 3rd overall, or maybe even 2nd overall. I'm
the conversation of being one of the biggest busts in NBA history.
Right, he got drafted before James Harden.
Yes.
Like, that's, they probably regret that one. But now, here we are, because of the way the game's changed, that guy's not even projected in the draft at all, right? So you have to get these guys that can shoot, whether they're big men, whether they're guards, whatever it is. You have to have that aspect to your game. Trey has added, I mean, he could do it in college. We've seen him shoot from deep. But in November and December, he was shooting 20% from three-point land. Over the last couple months, he's been shooting closer to 40.
Yep.
It's amazing to have been able to develop that in season. Like, that's the thing that blows my mind. I was like, all right, I'm not going to say what Trey is going to be ultimately yet this season in November.
Yeah.
But I had no expectation that he was going to be able to figure it out this quickly, and by the end of the year, we'd be saying what we're saying about him. I thought maybe year two, year three, he'd be able to develop into a better long-range shooter. To go from, literally, he shot under 20% in the month of November, to now shooting nearly 40%, which is an elite level of three-point shooting, in season is crazy.
And whenever you can knock down that jumper, and people have to respect it.
Yes.
Like you said, you're going to be able to get to that lane, shoot that floater, dish the ball off to your teammates, and be able to distribute more also because of your three-point range and your shot.
And you stretch the floor out.
That's right.
We know that that's what they want to do. The fact that Trey can shoot from 30 feet.
What Auburn is doing to everybody.
Exactly.
And making it so difficult.
Exactly. What Golden State loves to do to people. You have to come out and defend 25, 30 feet from the basket.
Yep.
There's so much more space in the lane for Trey to get in there and distribute. And now, here's what also happened on Saturday night. And this is where the Rookie of the Year conversation gets interesting for me. Not only was the buzz on social media, and we'll get to that in a minute, but Lloyd Pierce said, and I've heard him talk about Trey and say nice things about Trey. He said definitively that Trae Young is now the guy to win the award at the end of the year.
Compared to all the rookies, he's playing unbelievable basketball, and we rely on him a lot, and he delivers a lot. And I don't know if anyone's played better basketball in their rookie season than he is, or anybody else over the last couple of years. The stuff he's doing, he's played in every single game. I just think there's a lot to be said about our growth as a team and how we've progressed and how he's been a major part of that.
And then you look around Twitter and you see Donovan Mitchell tweeting about him, and you see Blake Griffin tweeting about him, and this momentum growing surrounding this guy. And I think my biggest argument for Trae Young winning the Rookie of the Year would be recency bias, because we know it exists. We know people get caught up in what they've seen most recently. Whether he's had a better rookie season or Luka Doncic has, I don't really care, because we get so caught up in what just happened, the eye test, what happened on Saturday. And if Trey is able to do a couple more of these types of games as the season comes to a close, you're trying to tell me sports writers aren't going to fall victim to recency bias? I think it's pretty possible.
And something that's so dynamic and amazing about the game he had the other night is against the Sixers.
Right.
They're the 3 seed in the East. Potential going to the finals. You know what I mean? Just with that roster that the Sixers have, period, and Trey doing that against that roster is unbelievable.
Well, the other thing, too, is, Harry, the parallels between the Sixers and the Hawks. And they were sort of the first team that did the tear it all the way down and try to rebuild it through the lottery by losing a lot of games, the process, as they called it. And Lloyd Pierce was the assistant coach on that team. The Hawks are sort of in year two, maybe, of that type of process. It seems like they're a little bit ahead of schedule, especially from what we've seen other teams try to do. And then to beat that team when they needed a win, as the Sixers are vying for playoff positioning down the end of the season, that's pretty impressive stuff. They've done it twice this season, too. They beat the Sixers twice now, twice in a row.
But not only that, though, just look at the games that, even though there's some of them that they have lost, that they've played recently, and look how the team is playing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're gelling. They're playing good. They don't have the firepower to win some of these games, but you can see the nucleus of the team coming together.
Where does that firepower come from? Free agency, possibly?
Free agency and draft.
And that's where the question goes to next. And we'll throw it out to the phone lines, 404-741-0929. Maybe Trey wins Rookie of the Year, maybe not. But more importantly, has he become an attractive free agent destination? Is he a guy that guys around the league are going to look at and say, I want to play with him. I want to play in Atlanta because of Trae Young. I want to get into that possibility coming up next. And again, the phone lines are open, 404-741-0929. Andy Bunker and Harry Douglas hanging out with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I think we're heading in the right direction. I'm super excited about the future here in Atlanta, the future in this team, and I mean, we're heading in the right direction.
That's the voice of Trae Young once again after his great performance on Saturday night. We'll get back into that conversation in just a minute. Andy Bunker and Harry Douglas here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Phone lines are open as well, 404-741-0929. If you want to answer the question, has Trae Young done enough to now make Atlanta a free agent destination? The Rookie of the Year conversation is fun, and everyone's having it. But the more important conversation, like, look, it'd be great if he won the Rookie of the Year. That'd be nice. You get the trophy up on your shelf at home. We get the acclaim. We can call him a Rookie of the Year award winner for the rest of his career. But what really matters is if guys want to come here and play with him. Now, the draft is very important, Harry. We'll get to that in a minute, how it relates to the NCAA tournament as well. But you played here. You were a professional athlete in this city. This is something that has been talked about, not just with the Hawks, but with all the professional teams here, that it's hard to get free agents to come here.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different theories as to why. Some fun ones, maybe some more realistic ones. Everyone's heard the side chick one, all that sort of stuff. What reason do you actually give? Because I think what reason do you actually give to why it's been so difficult to get free agents to come here?
Well, I'll say, from the Falcons' standpoint, it hasn't been hard.
Mm.
Because, you know, we got Tony Gonzalez to come here. We got Michael Turner to come here. Sanu's here now. We had all those guys to come
here. Alex Mack came.
Right. I would say it's been hard basketball-wise because I would say, and I got to be careful the way I word it. You know what I mean? You really have to give guys a legit reason to come.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that.
When it boils down to it, you got to give them a legit reason to come here. Because when you think of Atlanta, Atlanta's a great city. I think it's the best place in the United States to live. It's convenient for all situations of life. So when you look, it's cheap to live. It's not expensive. So I think it's more on the side of you have to give them a reason to want to come. And drafting Trae and what he is doing, and you also have, like we mentioned earlier off air, John Collins.
Yeah.
Those are two guys that you have and can build your team around.
And I'm with you. The other part of the offseason is going to be the draft as well. And look, hopefully the Hawks are able to have some ping pong balls bounce their way on lottery night. The chances, there is still a chance, although it's a very difficult chance, that they get the number one pick. And they end up with the number six pick from the Dallas Mavericks. Obviously, that's the ideal situation. Difficult for that to actually happen. But however it shakes out, the Hawks are going to have at least one good pick in the draft. Yep. One of the fun things about the NCAA tournament over the last 4 days is you've got a chance to see more of these guys than maybe you've seen throughout the entire season. Everybody knows about Zion and RJ Barrett. You got to see Ja Morant. That was fun. It was fun to see Ja and Murray State make that run that they made. You might get to see DeAndre Hunter from Virginia, a guy that you didn't get to look at as much during the season if you're not a huge college basketball fan.
Yep.
Kobe White from North Carolina. I mean, you name it. There's a lot of really talented players in this tournament that are still alive that hopefully one or two of them will be added to the team next year. But we also understand that once you get into, or once once you're going to take that next step from just rebuilding to being built, like say the 76ers did and are still in the process of doing, and they were in town on Saturday against the Hawks, they were able to attract other guys to come play with them.
Exactly.
Now, it was with trades, but still, they wanted to come play alongside some of the guys that they drafted. I think that's what Trey is doing. And I think you saw it on Saturday with the excitement on social media. Other players, other stars in the NBA recognizing what he's doing in Atlanta. That's, to me, a lot more important than individual awards. The team becoming a landing spot, like you said, making it attractive to free agents wanting to play with John Collins and Trae Young. And I also think Trae has something that other free agents might not, or other teams might not have, where he would love to pass and get his teammates involved just as much as he would love to hit a three or make a game-winning layup.
See, that's important. When other guys and other guys around the league can see that your point guard actually loves to pass and doesn't mind passing up a good shot to get a great shot, it's going to make them want to come even more. But like I said, I think one piece that the Hawks, they must address, even in the draft or free agency, is a bona fide two-guard shooter.
Mm.
A bona fide guy, because you got to understand, Trey is going to create so much attention that you got to have guys that can hit open threes and just knock it down on a consistent basis. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
and do it night in and night out.
What does Cam Reddish do for you?
Cam Reddish, a lot of people think Cam is in a slump, but a shooter's a shooter in my eyes.
Yeah.
Well, a shooter's a shooter. And you've seen he's come up big for Duke this year when they needed him the most. Three against Florida State. The three yesterday when they was down four. Because I don't think if he doesn't hit that three, Duke may definitely lose that game.
There's a couple different guys named Cameron that I like. I like Cam Reddish. I like Cameron Johnson from North Carolina. Yep. He's a shooter that stands out. There was in the UCF North Carolina game yesterday, the coach's son, Johnny Dawkins.
Do you want to know what's crazy about Cam Johnson? I was at the NBA Finals one year up in Cleveland. And I was sitting beside a guy, and that's when he was at Pitt, and he had just transferred to North Carolina.
Okay.
And he was like, yeah, I transferred from Pitt. And I was like, okay. Next thing you know, I see him. I said, I'll be damned. I'm sitting right
here
beside
he is.
The man.
Yeah.
And the man's a baller for UNC.
Yeah.
But I do like Aubrey Dawkins. Aubrey Dawkins, coach's son, grew up under Coach K and his father at Duke, so – you know he's going to be a pro. You know he's going to be a gym rat. You know he's going to be there mentally. You know he's going to be there to work on his game and push his teammates to be better. So that may be a steal in the draft right there.
Coming
Aubrey
up in
Dawkins.
10 minutes, top the 11 o'clock hour. We'll get into some of the NFL stories of the day. But let's get out to the phone lines here, and we ask the question, has Trey become a name that free agents are going to be interested in? The rookie of the year debate is fun, but what I really care about is whether or not free agents are going to want to come play with Trae Young. We'll start with Jackson in Kennesaw. What's up, Jackson?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man.
Well,
yep.
Okay, hey, man, I'll preface this by saying, man, I am not a Hawks fan. I'm actually a Mavericks fan, a lifelong Mavericks fan since Dirk Nowitzki, since I've known the game of basketball. And this whole argument is exactly like you're saying on whether or not which player is better. It's kind of old and it's getting tiring because neither team has lost here. If we look at, you know, the draft grade on whether or not each team was successful, they're both A-plus to me. I mean, the Hawks are heading in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jackson. Not really debating about Doncic and Trey. That's a fun one, and I think it's going to continue for years, but I'm with you. I think both teams are happy with what they've gotten right now. The Hawks also have a draft pick coming their way eventually as well. More concerned about whether or not those guys, like the rookie of the year is fun in the short term, but in the long run, I don't care. Think of who are the best players in the NBA right now. The guys that free agents want to go play with. Some of them won the rookie of the year, not all of them.
Yep.
You go back and look at MVPs in the NBA over the last 5 to 10 years. Most of them didn't win the rookie of the year. Some of them did, but not all of them. What we're talking about is longevity. Long-term success, that magnetism of, if you're a free agent, you're not thinking to yourself, you know, I'd really like to go play with that guy because he won Rookie of the Year. Probably not, because Malcolm Brogdon's not doing that. What's the guy's name? Played at Syracuse, now he's been a journeyman. Carter Williams, he won the Rookie
Carter
of the
Williams,
Year.
Yeah.
Nobody's beating down the door to play with him. He doesn't even have a team. He's on a 10-day contract with the Magic.
Yep.
I'm talking about building a culture on the team that you're on that can actually attract other better players to elevate the team to where you want to go. Rookie of the year would be great. Landing Klay Thompson, that would be better.
And the example you gave was the Philadelphia 76ers. For everybody's out there who are listening,
yeah,
we gave the examples, plain and simple, and cut and dry.
That guy just wanted to argue about Luka Doncic and Trae Young because he's a Magic or a Mavericks fan.
Dump the call.
That's all right. I'm with you. I think both teams are happy. The Hawks have another draft pick as well. All right. We'll come back and get to an NFL no huddle. A lot of NFL news over the weekend. Gronk retired. Did you see that?
Oh, man.
You also said the name Tony Gonzalez earlier. I think Tony Gonzalez's name is one that we need to remember in this Gronk conversation. A lot of people say it's very nice things about Gronk, which is fine. But don't forget about Tony Gonzalez.
I'm going to give you different perspectives on both sides.
I can't wait for that. We'll get to that top of the 11 o'clock hour. Harry Douglas and Andy Bunker here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.